As we come today to God's Word, I'd like to speak to you on the upside of empty. Now, empty is a subject we're getting pretty used to. It's a word that's become pretty familiar to us. Right now, we have empty restaurants all over the place. We have empty classrooms this week. We have empty office buildings and empty factory floors. We have empty everywhere. A lot of the side streets in our cities are empty. We have empty fitness centers, although some of us might not be too sad about that. We have empty sports arenas. We have empty movie theaters. And of course, who would have thought this on Resurrection Sunday morning, but we have empty church buildings all over the world right now. This is what our church building we thought a few weeks ago would look like. It's packed full of people, and not only full of people, but that place is ringing with the praises of God and filled with the presence of God. I'll tell you, that makes me nostalgic. I can't wait for the day when that will be us again, worshiping all together. But right now, this is what our sanctuary looks like on this resurrection weekend. Just empty. Because of the virus, because of trying to protect the people around us, because of trying to cooperate together to flatten the curve, what it's done is empty church buildings. But I'm thankful there's another kind of empty that we're celebrating today. And it's the empty tomb. I took this picture a few years ago in Israel. This is not the tomb that Jesus would put in. This tomb is farther north from Jerusalem, but it's an authentic, ancient rolling stone tomb. I tell you, the biblical writers had it totally accurate historically, that on that first day, the stone was rolled away, and they found that tomb to be empty. And we celebrate today not empty church buildings and not empty sports arenas and not empty classrooms and restaurants, but we celebrate another kind of empty. It's the empty tomb. Let's read about it in Luke chapter 14 and verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. So the first day of the week in the Jewish week was what we know as Sunday. And Jesus had been in the tomb over the Sabbath day, the day before Saturday. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to that tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. That tomb was empty. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for living people where you only put dead people? He is not here." And the joyous proclamation of every believer in Christ all over this world, even though their church buildings are empty this morning, "He has risen." This is the kind of empty that's not temporary. This is the empty that's everlasting. And this is the empty that changes our lives. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." That's the empty that we celebrate today. Now, right now in our society, empty has a lot of downsides. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of unemployment. There's a lot of anxiety about the future. But there are no downsides to this empty. In fact, the upsides are incredible. The upsides of an empty tomb for you and me today are so incredible that they outweigh all the downsides of all the other empties in our lives right now. First of all, because of that empty tomb, we can be forgiven. Because of empty, listen, you and I can be forgiven. Paul describes why that is so in Romans 4 and verse 25. Romans is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to, fittingly, the church in Rome. That's why we call it Romans. And in the last verse of Romans chapter 4, he writes, "Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Listen, Paul, in that one verse, tied together Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning right there in one sentence. First of all, what we celebrate on Good Friday, he was delivered over to death for our sins. You see, our sins have separated us from God, and God's a just God. Our sins have hurt people. Our sins represent evil and wrong, and God could not be a good God if he just kind of brushed evil under the rug and said, I'll just let it pass. No, he's a God of justice, and someone had to pay for our sin. And that's why Jesus hung on the cross. He was the sacrifice. He paid the sentence of God's justice that we should have paid. He paid it for us. God died on the cross. He hung on a cross. And that's why Paul said he was delivered over to death for our sin. He was speaking of when he hung on that cross until he gave up his life so that we could have life. That's the work of Christ's sacrifice to pay for our sin. Jesus hung on the cross. Now, journalist Ellen Vaughn, she writes in her book, The God Who Hung on a Cross, a most amazing story about a village in northern Cambodia. This village had a preacher visit it one day. This pastor was working his way through these very remote, isolated villages in northern Cambodia. This was an area where Christianity was virtually unheard of. And he came to this one village, and he was amazed at how quickly the people in this village just received his message, and the message about a God who hung on the cross and died in their place. And so after preaching to them the message of Christ and them receiving so wholeheartedly, he asked them, he said, how come this village is so different from all the other villages who tended just to shut me off? Why are you so open to this message? And a little lady shuffled up to him and looked him in the eye and took him by the hands. And she said, Mister, we've been waiting 20 years for you. And then she began to tell him of the mysterious story of a God who hung on a cross. She said, 20 years ago, this would have been now 1979, 20 years ago in 79, when the communist-led Khmer Rouge had come to power in Cambodia, they were vicious, they were brutal, and they were working their way up through the northern villages of Cambodia. You probably have heard of the killing fields of Cambodia. This was it. And finally, these murderous soldiers arrived in their village. And they immediately gathered all the villagers together and forced them to dig their own graves in preparation for being murdered. And so the villagers diligently, that hot, humid jungle weather, they dug their own graves. And then they stood there terrified, still facing their graves, just waiting for the moment that they were going to die. And of course, they were panicked. They were just screaming. Some of them were screaming out to demons. Some of them were screaming out to their ancestors, long dead. Some of them were screaming out to Buddha or whoever they could. And one lady just started crying out to a childhood memory she had. For when she was just a young girl, she remembered her mother telling her the story of a God who hung on a cross. And she started just crying out to that God who hung on a cross, for she thought, if he suffered, he might understand and have compassion on us. And all of a sudden, the entire village started just lifting this wail with her, calling out to the God who hung on a cross. And then that wail kind of tempered down into quiet sobbing. And then there was an eerie silence as these villagers, still facing their graves, couldn't hear anything else. And slowly, one by one, they dared to turn around to face the soldiers. And to their shock and amazement, the soldiers were completely gone. And those soldiers never came back. This little old woman with her hands in the hands of the pastor said, Pastor, we've been waiting for 20 years for someone to come and tell us the rest of the story of the God who hung on a cross. And that's the rest of the story. Paul said he was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. That, my friends, is the rest of the story. He didn't just die on a cross for our sin to pay the penalty that we normally should have paid for our sin, but he rose to life. Resurrection. That's the end of that story that pastor got to share with that little village somewhere in northern Cambodia. And that's the message. That's the rest of the story that we proclaim all over the face of this globe this resurrection day. Jesus rose from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. Well, don't trip over that word justification, because that's the resurrection issue. He was delivered over to death to pay the price for our sin. But what's that justification stuff all about? And it may just seem like a religious word that sounds a little too theological. But we all know what it means to try to justify ourselves, right? I mean, don't tell me you've never been accused of something and you felt the need to justify yourself. To say, no, that's not really what happened. You know, and then you say, no, this is what happened. And what are you doing? You're trying to justify. You're being accused of something wrong and you're trying to justify yourself. Or even if you did do something wrong, you say, you know, I know I shouldn't have done that, but I didn't mean to hurt anybody. At least we want to justify our motives. But this need to justify ourselves, this is a human need. It's a need we have. But can you imagine standing someday in front of God, as every one of us will? You've been created by God. You have a purpose, but your life is marked by sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And can you imagine trying to stand before Jesus someday and start to justify your lust and start to justify the way you caved into your greed at the neglect of other people, to try to justify the way you were unfaithful and sexually impure and the way you lied and the way you stole things from people and the way you coveted what other people owned, the way you hurt people in front of their faces with your words and the way you ruined people's reputations behind their back with your same words. I mean, how could all have sinned? I mean, we're all in the same boat. I mean, and you stand and try to justify yourself someday before a holy God, you don't have a square inch of ground to stand on. You're not going to be able to do this. He knows you inside out anyway, and he knows the sin that's been in our life. So he sent his son, Jesus. He delivered him over to death for our sins to pay the penalty for our sin. But then he rose Jesus back to life from the grave so that where we could not justify ourselves in his sight, he would do the justifying for us. Just think of this. God took care of doing what you could never do for yourself. God justified you in the sight of a holy God. And that means that because you're justified, it means you're now right with God. It means that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your past track record. He doesn't see your sin anymore. He looks at you as if you had never sinned before. In fact, that's how we remember, as we said last week, the word justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Can you believe that? God gives you spiritual confidence. God wipes your record clear, and now he looks at you with favor and with grace and with his life and with all his riches poured out towards you. Do you deserve it? No, but God justified you. Where you couldn't justify yourself, God blew his son out of that grave. He raised him to life so that we could be justified. His resurrection showed that Jesus did everything that was needed at the cross to make us totally right with God. That's where our spiritual confidence comes from. That's why one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3 in verse 12, where it says, in Christ and through faith in him. It comes through faith in him, not just any God that leads you think to God, but it's through faith in Christ, because no other God did this for you. It's through Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. Think of that. Aren't those two wonderful words that come because of the resurrection? We can approach God with freedom and confidence, not with hesitation and a whole lot of guilt still hanging on, but we can approach him with freedom and confidence. Why? Because Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. That makes forgiveness a huge word. Forgiveness means that the price was paid for you when Jesus was delivered over for your sin. And forgiveness means that God did the justifying for you that you could never do for yourself. He was delivered over for our sins and raised for our justification. I tell you, because the grave is empty, you and I can be forgiven. Forgiveness is humanity's greatest need, but it's God's greatest triumph. We can be forgiven in His sight. We can access His presence with freedom and confidence. We can live in His resurrection life. And that's the other upside. That's the other upside to empty. Because of empty, we can be forgiven, but because of empty, we can also be filled. We can also be filled. The late Chuck Colson once said, you know, especially in the Western world, we have thoroughly furnished homes, but utterly barren souls. And some of our isolation right now, some of our separation from our favorite pastimes and hobbies, and it just makes us realize how empty life really is. I mean, all that clutter in our lives. I mean, what is life really about? And because of an empty tomb, we can not only be forgiven, but we can be filled with the very resurrection power of Jesus Himself. Paul talks about this. That same Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He says, so when I pray for you, here's how I pray for you. This is a wonderful way for any pastor to pray for the church they lead. When I pray for you, I pray that God would just open the eyes of your heart, like your heart have eyes. And they'll just be open and enlightened in order that you may know the incomparably great power that God has for us who believe. And then look how he describes that power. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open to understand, that you'll just get it, that something by faith will dawn on you today. The incredible fullness that God can put into your heart, the incredible power that he can put in your life because the tomb is empty, because he said that power is the same power that God, and what an interesting word, that God exerted when he raised his son from the dead. That same resurrection power, he can fill your life and mine. His resurrection power means we can be forgiven. The fact that he rose from the dead means we're now justified. We're right with God. He did all he needed on the cross. But that same resurrection power means that you and I can be filled. Now, when it comes to winter in Missouri, it can get cold. It can get icy. It can stay below freezing for days on end. We can have snowstorms once in a while. And so I tell my wife and my two daughters, say, you know, during the winter, I want you to keep your gas tank at least half full. You know, and we get busy and we tend to, you know, run our tanks low down into the red zone and just push it to the last inch. But I don't want my daughters doing that. I try not to do it either in the winter. I mean, what a terrible thing to be stranded in a blizzard and you've got no gas left. And so I tell them, let's keep that tank at least half full. But you know, some of us are running our emotional tanks and our spiritual tanks, our lifestyle tanks. We're running down there in the red zone. We're at the end. But I want to tell you, you don't have to live life on empty. Because of the resurrection, you can not only be forgiven, but because of empty, we can be filled. Isn't that amazing? Because that tomb is empty, my life can be filled. Listen, because of empty, we can be forgiven and we can be free. We can be forgiven and free because that tomb is empty. And so I want to invite you right now to join with me as we come towards the conclusion of this resurrection service. It's been so wonderful to have you join with us. And I would like to invite you to make wherever you are an altar right now. An altar is a meeting place with God. We need His forgiveness. If you don't have His forgiveness, you can receive it right now. I'm going to lead you in prayer. And if you're running on half full, or you're even running on empty in your life right now, resurrection power can fill you, can fill your heart. I remember Jesus first doing that in my life when I was a young boy. I'll never forget it. feeling the fire of His Spirit in my heart. He's never left me. His Spirit still fills me, still keeps me going. I can still walk in forgiveness before Him, and I can still be filled with His resurrection Spirit. And I don't want to give up. I don't want any crisis to discourage me. I don't want anything to stop me. And most of all, I don't want to miss eternity with God. I don't want to be guilty and spend my eternity in hell apart from Him. But I want to tell you, you and I can know for sure, because the tomb is empty, that we can be forgiven and filled. So would you just, wherever you are right now, no matter who you're around, would you just open your heart with me in prayer? Our Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for delivering Him over to death for our sins, that He paid the price. And thank You for raising Him up for our justification, so that where we could not justify ourselves in Your sight because we're sinners, You justified us. And my God, we come and say yes to that today. Lord, if we've not been forgiven, we pray You would forgive us. Forgive the uncleanness in our lives. Forgive our addictions. God, forgive the rebelliousness of our hearts against You. Oh God, we repent. We turn the other way. We say, God, I'm going to start going Your way. And we ask You to forgive us, first of all. And if you need forgiveness, just receive it in right Jesus' name. Just say no to sin. Repent of it right now and say yes to Jesus' forgiveness. He's come to justify you. He's already paid for your sin, and He's come to justify you now. And Lord, thank You. Make us right in Your sight. Hallelujah. Wash our sin away in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, would You fill us with Your resurrection power. Thank You, Your Spirit, for Your strength in us. It's the same strength that, Lord, You exerted when You raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power, we need it. Some of us are running on empty. Oh, God, fill our hearts. We stop depending on ourselves, and we're worried about so much. We just let it all go. We just let it all out, oh God. And we ask that Your fullness, the fullness of Your Spirit, will come in. Just come this moment. Fill us with Your Spirit. Give us peace we can't explain. Oh God, give us joy that defies the circumstances around us. My God, let resurrection life lift our hearts and lift our spirits today in Jesus' name. And we thank You for it in Your mighty and great name, the great name of Jesus Christ. Normally, if you were with me in this sanctuary, I would say, and everybody said, amen. But everybody said, wherever you are, amen. It means so be it. So be it to forgiveness, and so be it to fullness. This service will continue for a few minutes, so that there's still time if you would like to click on the prayer button and pray with somebody. You're welcome to do that. And especially if you're opening your life to Christ, what greater day than on Resurrection Day to give your life to Christ? If you're receiving His forgiveness, please click on that prayer button. There'll be somebody to pray with you. Or click on the contact button, and we'd be glad. Tell us that you've opened your heart to Christ, or you're on a journey towards Him and you'd like to know more. And we'll make sure we get you information and help to help you grow. Whether you live in Springfield or the other side of the world, it doesn't matter. We'd be happy to help you. And now, as we go, may we go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of His resurrection Spirit. Amen.